Hi, and welcome to Walk Talk, a podcast courtesy of the Wound, Ostomy, and Continence Nurses Society. Walk Talk is your opportunity to learn more about advocacy, education, and research that support the practice and delivery of expert healthcare to individuals with wound, ostomy, and continence care needs. Please visit wocn.org/podcast to subscribe and make sure you never miss an episode. Now, here's your host, Jody Scardillo.
The latest episode of Walk Talk features Mary Mahoney and Barbara Rosenboom, who are certified wound, ostomy, and continence nurses at Unity Point at Home, a home care agency based from Des Moines, Iowa. They are discussing their work on the new WOCN document entitled Basic Ostomy Skin Care, a Guide for Patients and Healthcare Providers. We hope you enjoy listening to their conversation regarding this important and useful document. Barbara and Mary, welcome and thanks for joining me.
Thank you for inviting us.
So I'd love it if you would tell our audience about your walk-related experiences and current position so they know a little bit about you.
This is Barb. I'll start. I've been a WOC nurse for almost 19 years, be 20 years in January. I work in all practice settings, starting in a small rural hospital, and they sent me to WOC school. And then I went to a metropolitan acute care facility. They did a lot of ostomy surgeries there. And I've been in my current position working at Unity Point at Home with Mary and our team of six WOC nurses for almost 8 years. And I'll let Mary explain how we practice. We have a unique WOC practice.
Yes. Well, this is Mary. I've been a WOC nurse for 25 years. I started out with an interest in wound care. I really was enamored with taking care of patients with wounds. But as I grew my experience, my real passion is to provide the best care possible for patients with an ostomy. So I started out at a small metro hospital and then moved into a large metro hospital that had several colorectal surgeons. And now I work in home care, as Barb said, with six other WOC nurses. And I've been there for the past 10 years. I also serve as adjunct faculty for the WebWalk online education program for WOC nurses. We work in home care in a little bit different capacity than in years past. We work with the telehealth style of nursing. So the staff nurses and clinicians go into the homes to do the home care visit, and they upload information, including pictures, as part of their visit. We review that documentation, we review the orders, the OASIS, and help them form a plan, a treatment plan for patients with ostomies and wounds, and we address continence issues as well.
And how many patients does your agency see in a year approximately?
At any given time, we have 2,000 patients with wounds and ostomies. So that's kind of a general average.
Wow. So a very large practice. And now you both have been involved in quite a few different activities for the WOCN Society. So I was wondering if you might want to share a little bit with our audience about some of the different things you've done as volunteers in your careers.
I joined the Iowa WOCN affiliate when I finished WOC school. My preceptors, one of those being Mary, encouraged me to become involved at both the state and the national level. I started out in the Iowa affiliate as secretary and then ended up as president. And I've been active in several committees and affiliate related activities. I think one of our most important and proud accomplishments that we have kind of worked on together was developing an annual ostomy education day for patients. We kind of recognized that once ostomy patients were discharged from the healthcare system with a new ostomy, many of them didn't have resources to continue learning about their products or their skin care or other ostomy-related issues. So we started an education day that's specific to patients and their support persons. Let's see, in 2019, it'll be our 11th annual event, and it's free. We have it on a Saturday, and we rotate it at various locations across the state. In addition to that, I've served on the National Marketing Committee. I wrote a chapter in the core curriculum wound text. I've co-authored some articles and posters, presented at National WOC Conference with Mary and Dorothy Doty on the linear gluteal wounds. And I served on the consensus panel that developed the minimal discharge criteria for an ostomy patient to be released from home care.
Barb has led a full life.
Makes me sound old.
Or busy.
Yes, very busy, very involved. And we both love to network and be part of the WOCN Society. I joined the national group of what was called ET nurses at a time when the name was changing to the WOCN Society. I've since been involved in many changes of the WOCN Society. However, my first involvement at the national level was with the WOCN-CB, which is the certification board, and I joined them in 1998. I will try to spare you the details, but I contacted then-president Lori McNichol with a question. And, well, if you know Lori, the next thing you know, she has you talked into being involved in joining what I thought was a committee. Well, that led to certification board member and eventually certification board president. I've never regretted that decision. And in fact, I'm really quite indebted to her for her role in mentoring WOC nurses and the growth of the WOCN Society as a whole. After my role on the certification board came to a close, I wanted to be part of the WOCN Society, and I joined the Ostomy Committee and then served as chair of the Ostomy Committee. Our committee worked on many ostomy documents on behalf of the Society, and I've served on the WOCN Society in other capacities like nominations committee, peer review, conference planning, to name a few. I've submitted articles to JWOCN, as Barb had mentioned. We've had posters at conference, and also I've written the pre-op preparation chapter in the ostomy curriculum book. So I've been busy too.
I'm exhausted just hearing about all of your activities, the two of you. So I'm really happy to hear about how you accomplished this document, Basic Ostomy Skincare, called A Guide for Patients and Healthcare Providers.
Well, the document was originally written and revised by the WOCN Society Ostomy Committee to provide basic information without industry bias. So it's a piece that doesn't have the slant of the companies who make the ostomy products. So it was deemed to be due for revision by our WOCN Society clinical editor, Dr. Mary Honored Long. And Dr. Long contacted Barb and me to review and revise the document. In particular, she asked that we add information with references to make the information stronger, make it a stronger document. Dr. Long asked the two of us to work on the document, which was efficient use of our time versus a large committee trying to convene and wordsmith. So this way we were able to create and revise the document. And then it was sent to peer review for comments and revisions. The peer reviewers are from all over the nation, and each nurse gives individual feedback on the document. And this is a valuable step to creating a document that has perspective and value to the most patients.
And how long did this entire process take?
I think we worked on the document about 6 months. As Mary said, the revised version is referenced. So it took us time to find the references for the content we included in the document. And we had requested that the document be referenced in AMA format. We thought that would be easier for consumers in particular. It would be less intimidating to have the small number reference instead of the names in parentheses throughout the text. And it took time to arrange the document so that it flowed well. So probably 6 months total.
And how is this edition different beside the references and all that part you just mentioned compared to the first two editions? There's certainly a lot more products available for ostomy care now than there maybe were available at the first time this was developed. What would you say about that?
Yes, we would agree with you there. We wanted to make sure we included new products such as barrier rings, convexity. And as we worked on the document, we realized there's so much more information that the whole format had to change the document. But the biggest thing is the referencing, that we took the time to look up the newest literature and to support the document with the evidence in the literature.
And the guide is written in a very conversational and easy to read form that seemed very user friendly for our readers. How did you make sure that that was at an appropriate reading level for the audience that you were aiming to reach?
All consumer focused healthcare documents are required to be written at a fourth grade reading level. We took a lot of the big words and the acronyms in healthcare that patients often misinterpret or don't understand, all of the ABCs and those big words. And we tried to make the document content flow very well and make it easier to read. The basic ostomy skincare document is a guide for patients and for healthcare providers. So we wanted the document to be concise so it could be used as a reference tool for staff or field nurses who might not be familiar with ostomy care or have an ostomy nurse in their facility or their community. And we wanted the document to be available to patients as a quick reference, kind of summarizing the sometimes overwhelming amount of information that they're provided in acute care when they're learning about their ostomy. I think it was a challenge too to keep the information broad, remembering this is to be used as a guide and not a specific instruction, and to emphasize the fact that this document shouldn't replace a WOC assessment.
And so what would you say was the most surprising thing that you might have learned throughout this process?
I think we were surprised that we were challenged with finding the common language, something to make it consistent to describe the part of the pouching systems. Probably the best example is the term wafer. It was also called a barrier, a flange, a faceplate. Some of our patients call them the sticky part. Everybody calls it something different. So it was hard to choose a term that was going to be consistent and that people would know what we were talking about. And if we as WOC nurses can't agree on a common terminology, then how do we expect patients to know what to call it? We really wanted to keep that consistent throughout the document. We find this in our practice too, language at patients' learning level, keeping the meaning so that they can understand the term. We try to teach patients the correct words to identify, like the type of stoma they have, a colostomy, an ileostomy, a urostomy. Providers in particular often just use the term stoma, or they call it or misidentify the type of stoma that a patient has. And we did notice too in other podcasts that we listened to in conference sessions that the WOC nurses recognize that inconsistent nomenclature for the ostomy products too.
Yeah, it often seems in different parts of the country that things are called different terms. So that was really nice you were able to standardize that through your document. And I think all of the readers of that will really appreciate that.
That was our biggest challenge, is that terminology.
And so you both have a lot on your plate. And what made you sign up for this particular project? What was it about this that was like, oh, I really want to do this? Or why did you sign up for this?
There's very little that we're asked to do that we can say no to, especially when it involves doing better care for our ostomy patients. And when Dr. Mary Arnold Long asked us to review and revise the document, we thought this is something we can do for the patients. We both answer the call to the volunteers on the WOCN Society webpage, and this matched our interests. And we just both have a passion for ostomy education for both patients, staff nurses, WOC nurses, and we hope that this document can be used to help provide better care for the ostomy patient.
And so how do you see the average WOC nurse using this document?
I like to think of this document as an owner's manual. Just like every car has an owner's manual. In your owner's manual, you figure out how to use the knobs, adjust the temperature, how to do the seats, what the alarms mean. And every owner's manual also has a quick reference guide. So I feel like their hospital education is kind of their quick reference guide. That's what they learn the basics. But when they get home, this is more their owner's manual. So when they have more questions and want to know in more detail, they can look at this document. So we start the patient education with the need to know information, but this is a larger document as a resource for the patient as they learn more about having an ostomy. It can also be used in a clinic setting or in support groups. And I would hope would be information for providers. Maybe there's a primary care provider that really doesn't know very much about a patient with an ostomy. And this could be a quick guide that they could look at so they know how to be more compassionate with their patients. Clinic staff, nurses, and patients can use it as basic information. And remember, it doesn't have that industry bias. So not all patients have access to a WOC nurse. So the content's a way to validate information they learn but may not have remembered, and it may include new information for them. So it's that owner's manual. Now, people who drive cars can refer to their owner's manual, but you still need to go to the expert, or you need to bring it to a dealership to be looked at. So we look at that as make sure that they go see their WOC nurse annually or for their checkup.
I think you really achieved that going from simple to more complex. And I was really struck when I first read the document about how a patient could really use that over time. It addressed things that people need initially, and then as things change over time or as different clinical situations come up, it really seemed to have the answers to the common questions that most patients ask, at least in my practice. And what about a bedside RN that might not have access to a walk nurse in their facility? Say, for example, a nurse on a surgery floor in a hospital that doesn't have a WOC nurse.
Yes, that staff RN, and like I said, the primary care provider who's maybe kind of new to the practice and doesn't really know much about patient with ostomies, we hope that they can use this as a quick reference guide to sort of at least put in context what is going on with the patient and what they need to know.
Great. And how would a person access these guidelines? As a WOCN member, we have access on our website, but how would another person get a hold of these?
I think they can ask the WOC nurse, or I do believe we can get on the WOCN Society website under the publications, the document library tab, that they are also able to access this document.
And now that you've completed all this hard work, what happens next? The guide will be out and be used by many of us. And then how often does that have to be revised again?
It is available now on the WOCN website. As far as revision, the WOCN organization reviews documents every 5 years and makes revisions then so it contains the most current evidence-based practice. This document should be considered for revision then in 5 years, and then every time there's a new ostomy product available or developed for consumers, then if it was significant, it would be updated.
And what else about this whole process and this wonderful document should our audience know that I maybe didn't ask you about?
Actually, I just really want to emphasize that in the introduction, we reinforce to keep it simple, that less is best, and that each patient in each ostomy is unique, and that the pouching system and education needs to be customized to the patient and the family needs. So we want to keep it simple.
I think we've really recognized that working in the home care setting, how important that is when patients are learning to take care of ostomies and the cost effectiveness. That's a big part of our job, and it's really been eye-opening. It was important to us to get the content to flow well so that people use the document as a resource. So the terminology we've talked about, standardizing that terminology, calling products by the same name. Barrier might refer to a wafer or faceplate, but then we found they were calling rings and skin prep or paste barrier. So that's something we want to continue to work on over the next few years, that we hope the companies and the WOCN Society can develop a common nomenclature. We feel it's important to get that information out to primary care providers so they know the basic information to share with their patients.
Yes, I would also like to add too, just to reinforce that much research has been done with patients regarding their skin around their ostomy, and that they don't realize that any type of skin breakdown is not normal. They think it's normal. They think, oh, I have this ostomy now, and I use this adhesive. For sure, it should be red and hurt and sore. So really want to emphasize with the patients with the ostomy that their skin should be intact and that it's not normal to be red or sore. And I would just like to add one other thing here, just make a plug, that our WOCN Society provides many benefits, including publications, networking with colleagues, CEUs, and conferences to elevate the practice of WOC nursing. But we need volunteers to continue the work. And it really is fun to be involved at all levels, whether it's the local, regional, national level. So be sure to contact the WOCN Society to get involved.
Okay, thank you so much, Mary and Barb. As you can tell from our discussion today, the Basic Ostomy Skincare Guide for Patients and Healthcare Providers is a wonderful tool for both the nurses, WOC nurses, patients, and families. If an ostomy is poorly managed or the patient doesn't have enough information, it can develop many, many systemic and local problems and difficulties, including impact on patients' quality of life. So we really appreciate you taking time, Mary and Barb, out of your busy schedules to speak with us tonight. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you on the next episode of Walk Talk.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Walk Talk. Please visit wocn.org/podcast for additional details about this topic and the speakers. You can also get more information about subscribing to this podcast so you never miss an episode, and to get the latest news and information from the WOCN Society. Again, that's wocn.org/podcast. We look forward to having you join us for the next episode of Walk Talk.